Morning. Welcome. Ephesus Baptist Church is God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. There are many dangerous acts that we can perform in life. Trying to go down Niagara Falls in a barrel, or walking across Broadway on a tightrope, or eating Connie's cooking. A lot of dangerous things that we can do. But the most dangerous act that we can perform in our life is to rebel against God and to refuse to do what He commands. It is impossible, even after we are saved, to persevere and continue in our faith without Satan attempting to sidetrack us from our goal of serving God and doing what He wants us to do. Satan places a lot of detours in our path through this journey of life. And I want us to review what God's Word says about obeying Him. And our text today will do this, that. It's found in Numbers chapter 32. I want to read verses 1 through 12 and then verses 20 through 23. And I invite you to follow along as I read Numbers 32, 1 through 12. And 20 through 23. The Reubenites and Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw that the land of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. So they came to Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and to the leaders of the community and said, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elale, Sebon, Nebo, and Beon, the land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel, are suitable for livestock, and your servants have livestock. If we have found favor in your eyes, they said, let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan. Now Moses said to the Gadites and the Reubenites, shall your countrymen go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from going over into the land the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. After they went up to the valley of Eshcol and viewed the land, they discouraged the Israelites from entering the land the Lord had given them. The Lord's anger was aroused that day, and He swore this oath, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, not one of the men 20 years old or more who came out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Then Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for battle, and if all of you will go armed over the Jordan before the Lord until He has driven out His enemies, He has driven His enemies out before Him, then when the land is subdued before the Lord, you may return and be free from your obligation to the Lord and to Israel. And this land will be your possession before the Lord. But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of God's Word. Here in our text, Moses is telling the children of Reuben and the children of Gad to go across to the western side of the Jordan River and help the other 10 tribes subdue those who are now occupying the land of Canaan, the land that God promised them when he led them or had Moses lead them out of Egypt. And Moses reminds them that this is God's work. This is what God has said we must do. This is what God wants you to do. And he said if they fail to help, they were refusing to obey God and were sinning against God. He warned them, Moses warned them, your sin will find you out. Now, was he talking about the sin of adultery? No. Was he talking about the sins of immorality, of lying, cheating, stealing? No. He was talking about the sin of disobeying God. The Bible is crystal clear. We must do what God has called us to do. We don't get to pick and choose. If we are followers of God, if we claim to be Christians, if we say we have given our life to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we don't say, well, I'll do this and I won't do this, Lord, and I know you asked me to do this, but I'm not going to do it. If we do not do what God has called us to do, then his word says it is a sin, and we can be sure that our sin will find us out. And the Bible is full of many instances of the consequences people experience as a result of their sin. The consequences not only to them, but to those they love and those around them. And I want us to look at several biblical events and take note of what can occur if we commit the most dangerous act. First, we see a couple kneeling at a fresh grave site. And in the grave, this mother and father have laid their son and have covered his body with a sheet. His name is Abel. Cain, their other son, killed his brother. And now mom and dad have had to place the cold, lifeless body of their son in a grave. As Adam and Eve laid their son in the grave, we can only imagine that a part of them must have died with him. How many times do you think that Adam and Eve died inside when they walked by that grave? How many tears did they shed? How much do you think their hearts were broken when they covered the body with dirt? They had never seen death before. Think of that. They had only known creation. They had never seen death before. Adam and Eve disobeyed God regarding the eating of the fruit from the tree of knowledge. They had sinned against God. And ask Adam if your sin will find you out. Next, we see a giant of a man grinding at a mill owned by a Philistine. His name is Samson, and Samson was a handsome young man and physically the strongest man that ever walked on the earth. And because of his physical abilities and his good looks, he was sought after by the women at the time. And these weren't necessarily women that went to Sunday school and church. And Samson was sent by God to deal with the Philistines, and he disobeyed God and became entangled with the sinless and wicked life that these Philistines were living when he tried to serve God in their midst. He had to pay a price for that, and he lost his sight, and he was warned that an immoral lifestyle was against God's teaching, but he lived such a lifestyle anyway. Samson disobeyed God, and his sin found him out. Next, we see a man who stands head and shoulders above those other men around him. And this man has fallen on his sword and taken his life after being critically wounded in battle. And his name is King Saul, and he was the first king of the nation of Israel. The king that they demanded that God give to them, that was Saul. Well, why did he die in such a manner? It was because Saul attempted to do things his way and not the way God had instructed him to do. He tried to sacrifice to God, to make sacrifices to God instead of obeying God. Ask Saul and he will say, "My sin found me out." We enter the palace of Jerusalem. An elderly king walks with his arms outstretched, weeping and crying, "Absalom, my son Absalom, I am so sorry." The king's name is David, and his son has been killed. His son, who had killed his own brother because he had raped his sister, and then had turned against David and went to live with his grandfather, and then was reconciled with David, and then was killed because David had disobeyed God and had to defend the nation of Israel against enemies that he provoked. Ask David if his sin found him out. We are walking down a dark alley behind Pilate's hall, and a fisherman is on his knees weeping, and we immediately recognize this man. He is sobbing uncontrollably, and he has cried so much there are no tears left to shed, we can imagine. He feels as if his heart will explode. The man, of course, is Peter, and we ask Peter, "What is wrong?" And he answers, "The Lord needed me, and I denied him. I turned my back on him. When I should have stood up for Jesus, I turned away from him." But Peter, you followed Jesus for 3.5 years. You were always at his side. You were always the one who stood up for him. You proclaimed Jesus as the Christ, as the living God. Jesus always had you by his side. He loved you. And now you're behaving like this? Yes, because for one night, just one night, I turned my back on Jesus and I denied him. You can be sure, he'll tell us, your sin will find you out. God did not allow those that we've mentioned here briefly today to get away with disobeying him, and he is not going to allow us to get away with disobedience. Our sins will find us out. We may say, "Well, I don't believe that the act I am committing is such a big deal. I don't believe I've done anything that wrong. It's not so bad that I miss church a lot. It's not so bad that I don't pray or read the Bible. It's not so bad that I don't witness for Jesus." But God tells us that any act which disobeys him is a sin bad enough to find us out. It doesn't matter. God doesn't characterize sins. He doesn't have a list from 1 to 10 or 1 to 10,000 and ranks them like that. A sin is a sin to God, and disobeying him is a sin. And when we do that, our sin will find us out. Ask Adam, Samson, David, Saul, and Peter. Ask them, can we get away with disobeying God? And they will say, no, your sin will find you out. There is a payday for sin. We know that the wages of sin is death, and that when we willfully say that we're going to do our own thing and disobey God, you can be sure that your sin will find you out. You may not be committing adultery or using drugs or cheating or so forth, but the question is, are you doing what God wants you to do? You know, the saying that was so popular a few years ago, what would Jesus do? That never goes out of style, never goes out of vogue for those of us who want to do what God wants us to do. We ask, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus commit this act? Would Jesus perform the most dangerous act of all and turn his back on God the Father? If you are not doing what God wants you to do, then you are committing the most dangerous act in the world. Therefore, you are sinning, and your sin will find you out. It may take 5 years, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, but at some point, your sin will find you out. So we need to rid ourselves of our unconfessed sin in our life, because it is stalking us like a hound out of hell, and eventually it will catch up with us. No matter how clever we are, no matter how many families, members and friends we fool, and co-workers and bosses and Sunday school teachers and pastors and deacons, it will find us out. So you need to confess that sin today. And the opportunity is here. As we sing a hymn of invitation, you need to come forward and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Please have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And He will do that. And then He will help you on this journey. And He will help you so that when you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, He will do so. And maybe the consequences will not be as great as those examples we've mentioned this morning. We invite you to come forward as we sing invitation hymn number 448. And stand as we sing.